Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. We continue on our coverage of Budget 2023 following the presentation by the Finance Minister / Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, on 24th of February. We're also looking at how this is on the march towards widening the tax base even further, beyond just raising personal taxes for the rich. We saw the possibility of an introduction of GST moving forward. We don't know that, but the idea here is that it surely does present that kind of opportunity. We're looking on the goods, the luxury goods tax, and the possibility of a limited form of capital gains tax as well. And of course, this does signal that the tax structure has been reformed. One such comment that has been given before the budget presentation was that the income tax code was archaic. In fact, the PwC managing partner, Arubindo Ponya, would liken it to an old car. In fact, that would be the first question that I would like to ask our guest for today. That is, of course, Lavindran. Of course, Lavin is, of course, the tax partner as well there at PwC. So, Lavin, do you, I guess, agree with your colleague when it comes to the tax code being likened to an old car?
Right. Hi, Ibrahim. Hope you're keeping well. That's a fairly complicated question, right? Whether it's archaic or not. Definitely, there are certain aspects of the tax code that has been sort of copy and pasted into the Act without seeing it from a holistic basis in terms of how the tax system would apply to companies and individuals. Now, I think that is expected because obviously you can't have a revamp of a tax system regularly on a regular basis because that causes uncertainty. But I think from a going forward basis, there is a lot of discussion and strategic initiatives in order to sort of simplify the tax code, make it a little bit more easier to implement, a bit more structured. So those are plans that are already in place, to take the tax code to become a little bit more progressive in nature.
Lavin, let's talk a little bit more about what you just said earlier, which is, of course, the capital gains tax, the signal that the tax structure is going to be is currently being reformed, and that future budgets could have more measures being included. This is all in the pursuit of widening the tax base. Do you feel that the GST, however unpopular it is amongst the rakyat, has to be introduced sooner rather than later? In fact, that sooner could be developed in this year, even in budget 2024, when it is tabled towards the end of the year.
There are some factors that we need to take into account in the introduction of GST, which I'm quite sure you are also aware of. And one of the main factors is inflation. If we do introduce GST, and as we have seen in the past, there was a fair amount of increase in inflationary pressures. Now, can the government or can the country withstand that level of inflationary pressures at this moment in time, given that the economy may be weakening, is a question mark. Now, okay, if somebody is brave enough to make that call and, with some strategic foresight in terms of what might take place in the future, then yes, and that must be a strong argument for the introduction of GST at this current position that we are in.
But, the introduction of GST is no small activity. It is one that is massive and one that can't be undone, through a whimsical wave of the wand. We saw how Malaysia had to suffer from a tax holiday right after the 2018 government took over, and that has incurred a loss of revenue in the billions of ringgit. So this whole idea of reintroducing GST in the country must be done surgically and well. Do you feel that because of that, there are a lot of considerations that would take into factor, not just on the inflationary pressures that you mentioned earlier, but other factors as well, including the mood and sentiment of the political temperature in the country, when and if it is going to be announced to be introduced?
Yeah, definitely that will be a factor to consider. The inflationary pressures, and that can be used as a discussion point. But I would look at it from more from the perspective of businesses. I think businesses, given that they have already, most businesses have already been subjected to GST, I think the reintroduction of GST may not be something that is unworldly for businesses to re-implement it. I think that would be something that businesses may not be too against. But what I would say is one of the factors that sort of keep businesses awake is this issue about GST refunds. Now, I think if that aspect can be efficient, timely, I think businesses would be quite open. And I think the inflationary aspect of GST can be managed much, much better.
Okay, let's move on towards less speculative territory, I guess, and more concrete items that were introduced, including that of the luxury tax. Do you feel that this is a needed item to be introduced today? And do you feel that this is just one of those many measures that the government is trying to widen the tax base?
I think it's more towards your second point in terms of widening tax base, because this luxury tax is more designed for certain high value items, right? So you can see in some countries in the region that have similar luxury tax, they're looking at the tax being imposed on things like expensive watches, private jets, yachts, you know, those kind of areas. So it's not so much of a structural matter, but I believe it's more of widening the base.
Okay. And because of that, do you think that this is going to get more revenue for the government substantially, or this is more of, I guess, punishing the T20s?
I don't think it's more of punishing. I don't have the statistics for, you know, the amount of those kind of purchases, the category of assets that we are looking at. But it is to cover some, I suppose, shortfall in tax revenue. I think you have also seen that, you know, some of the M40 categories are going to be paying less taxes. So, you know, there are some shortfalls in terms of government revenues that needs to be filled.
Okay. Finally, before we go into that break, do you feel that these luxury tax introduction is going to be further added on in the context of luxury tax throughout the year moving forward? Or do you feel that whatever that has been announced is that's just about it? No further inclusion is going to be seen until the new budget is going to be tabled towards the end of the year?
Yeah, I think it would be on your second option, which is, I think they're just going to introduce one off. This is how it's going to be. There could be some introduction in terms of new items coming in as we go along. But, you know, one thing we have to remember, if GST comes back, then this luxury tax would then have to be removed. Because okay. There will be an overlap of taxes.
Okay. Hence why the GST introduction is actually quite critical as well. Okay, we'll go for one short break before we continue on with our conversation with Lavindran Sandrasu. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me on the line Lavindran Sandrasu, partner of PwC Taxation Services Malaysia. Lavin, let's talk a little bit more about the special voluntary disclosure program. When it was done, if I'm not mistaken, 2018, it was well received. Many tax so-called evaders turned up at the IRB's office and volunteered to voluntarily disclose the back taxes that they did not pay. And because of this, there was an increase in income tax following that particular idea of voluntary disclosure program. Why do you think that the government is doing this again, considering that we just did, you know, 4 years ago? Has there been an issue of 4 to 5 years of tax evaders, and therefore we're trying to see the government claiming back or clawing back the kind of lost revenue from these individuals and companies?
Yeah, so I think this is quite interesting. And, you know, just to give you a little bit of context, the reintroduction of a program like this is not new. Even if you look at some of the countries in the region, they have had several phases of this similar SVDP. So, you know, they've introduced it in year one. Subsequently, after 3-4 years, they've reintroduced it again. Now, one of the benefits of this SVDP program that when we saw when it was first introduced in 2018 was that revenue collection was quite significant. It was north of 7 billion just on corporate taxes alone, right? So I think there is a good reason for it to introduce it at this moment in time. As you will note from the budget proposals, there is a bit of a shortfall in terms of tax revenue, which we also need to mop up. So this is definitely an option. Now, in terms of whether, you know, it's something to do with so-called evaders, as you mentioned, to bring them back into the fold, it's a bit difficult to say. But if you look at what the Prime Minister also said, that, you know, monies that have been kept abroad, there are investigations going on in terms of bringing some of these monies back. So I think this is part of the initiatives to tell the public, look, guys, bring back your money. If it's supposed to be taxed in Malaysia, you know, come forward. We'll give you it's so-called like an amnesty program, right? Come forward, bring your money back, and let's start with a clean slate. So I think that is more of the initiatives that is being looked at by the government.
But why the voluntary disclosure programs so close with each other? Normally, these disclosure programs, if you look globally, you know, we're looking at some time apart. I mean, I don't have the data, but you know, it's not like 3 or 4 years back to back, Lavin.
Yeah. So I think it's also part of the sort of reform program that the government is pushing for. They are trying to make sure that the so-called the government ecosystem is ready for this kind of reforms. And you need, when you want to reset something, you need to start from a clean base, right? And this is one of the ways of sort of incentivizing people to come forward, companies, individuals, come forward, let's look at it, pay the right amount of tax, and let's move on.
Okay. Another area that I want to ask you is the introduction of the capital gains tax. Over the past few days, we've seen how the introduction of the capital gains tax has received mixed reviews. The proposal to introduce the capital gains tax is on the disposal of unlisted shares and has been welcomed in a move in the right direction by some economists. However, some practitioners, like my friend, actually, of Scrub Malaysia, is arguing that that might disincentivize corporates from trying to invest more in the private space. What's your view on the reintroduction of the capital gains tax? Do you feel that it's significant? And maybe you can contrast this with some of the ideas that how this has been done regionally across other countries.
Right. So obviously, if you look at it from the perspective of a business owner, of course, it's not an attractive alternative, right? Because, you know, I've built a business, I've grown it, and now when I want to dispose of it, the gains are subject to a certain amount of tax, right? So, you know, any amount of taxes is not going to be very forthcoming. Look at it the other way. One is that, you know, the country needs money for development, right? Now, this capital gains tax is not new. The government has thought about it a couple of years ago. The situation was not exactly conducive to introduce something like this. But, you know, the government has also put forward the point that the rate will not be too high. It will be a manageable, and they've even used the term low rate, right? To sort of, you know, allow some of these gains to be taxed at a reasonable rate, I think is something fairly reasonable. I think if you look regionally and globally, a lot of our neighbors, a lot of the other global countries do have some form of capital gains tax, right? Be it for companies or individuals. So, you know, it's not something that it's unknown. I've seen a lot of mergers and acquisitions, particularly coming from overseas. You know, one of the first questions they ask us is there capital gains tax in Malaysia?
Yeah.
because they've seen it in a lot of jurisdictions. So I don't think it's something new. It's a tax that is to allow that capital gain to be brought into the tax fold. So and I think economically it also makes sense. Again, from the perspective of government, not so much of the business owners, because they will probably have a different view. And also, Ibrahim, we have a somewhat capital gains tax for real property companies, right? So it's not something new in the Malaysian scene. We do have some form of it. It's just that now we are broadening it to sale of any unlisted company shares.
Okay. Now, your colleague, Jagdev Singh, the tax leader at PwC Malaysia, argues that the potential CGT should be done in a measured basis. What does he mean by that, Lavin? What does it take to have it at a measured basis?
I think he may be looking at the rate itself. So, not to sort of hit the whole sort of environment in a very hard way. So I think it needs to be progressive. So it could be even on certain scale rates. It could be certain gains made at certain levels would be taxed at a lower rate, versus gains that are made at a higher level could be taxed at a higher rate. There could be exemptions that is accorded, particularly when there's a restructure within the group, more for efficiency purposes as opposed to an outright sale. So I think those are some of the aspects that could be considered to take a measured approach to this.
Okay. Finally, I want to talk more about personal taxes. We've seen how the personal tax has increased for some and has increased for some. Do you think that this is a sensible move?
Yeah. The logic, I think, behind the reduction, particularly it's impacting the people under between the rate of 35,000 to 100,000 in terms of taxable or chargeable income. I think that is to provide a little bit of relief, right? Put money back into their pockets, right? Now, there was a statement in the budget speech that said that leakage is about 900 million in terms of saving to the populace. But on the same vein, there's an introduction of 0.5 to 2% additional taxes to the guys above 100,000 who are earning more than 100,000. Now, so again, it's about redistribution or balancing of income. Right, so there are some category of income earners whom would not be so adversely affected by slight increases in terms of taxes, whereas there will be some of the lower income earning groups whereby even small savings will go a long way. So I think that is the logic behind this balance. And of course, I mean, increase of taxes, I mean, nobody really likes it. But I think we have to look at a bigger picture, what the government is going through, what they need to invest in for the betterment of the country. So okay, we need to take that responsibility on us. Yeah.
All right. We'll go for one short break before we continue on our conversation with Lavin of PwC Malaysia. Thanks for staying on with us. I am with me, Lavindran, of the tax services of PwC Malaysia. Lavin, let's talk a little bit more about the ESG measures and some green initiatives that was introduced in the budget. In fact, there were a lot of chuckles in the newsroom when the finance minister, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, was mentioning about some wild animals and the conservative efforts that needs to be done to protect them. But jokes aside, and however hilarious it may sound at that point in time, doesn't take away the seriousness of us trying to see conservation and the need for us to pump money into conservation being done. That's just one element of the ESG or green initiatives that has been done in the budget. There are many more that have, that was announced. What is your take on this in the budget 23?
I think it's a sensible start. I think there are a lot more that can be done. Like you said, you know, the focus has been, you know, to some extent, conservation, right? There is also quite a bit of money that is being allocated in the form of loans, in the form of guarantees. I think BNM themselves has a 2 billion pot in terms of loans that is going to be earmarked for green, for transition of the green economy, one. And second thing is the introduction of green technologies into businesses. Okay, so I think that's one. Khazanah themselves have allocated about 150 million to be spent on carbon markets, as well as certain reforestation. There's also the Green Technology Fund, and I believe there is another 3 billion that has been allocated as guarantees up to 2025, I believe. I think there's money that has been sort of allocated for some of these initiatives. But one of the things that I find that we could have maybe looked a little bit more in detail is, you know, how do we really bring the, or how do we transition, particularly the micro and the SMEs, businesses, into the green economy? Now, that's critical because all of us know that SMEs make a huge part of the GDP, right? They are the engine of, you know, of growth. Now, so there needs to be some real initiatives, some thoughts in terms of how do we bring these guys into the or transition them into the green economy. So I think we need a little bit more clarity in terms of that that aspect of the economy.
It's also important for us to contrast that for the reduction of business income tax for SMEs. I think it was 70% before, now it's down to 15%. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Doesn't that help alleviate some of the cash issues for this group of businesses?
Okay, so I think what we are looking at in terms of this particular aspect is moving towards a green economy, right? Transitioning. Now, because SMEs as or micro businesses as they are quite fixed in terms of their supply chain. So the consideration in terms of making sure their supply chain is green, not emitting too much, or, you know, there's a reduction, is something very critical. And it cannot be sorted out by providing rebates or certain reliefs in terms of the amount of taxes you pay, right? Because that portion is fairly small. I think it's about some saving of about 3,000 or something based on the reduction of the tax rate from 17 to 15%. So I think it needs to be a bigger thing. It's not just cash flow. It needs to, the government needs to make sure the ecosystem that supports the SME and the micro businesses needs to also move towards a more greener economy. That's one. Second thing is also, you have this concept of a circular economy, right? So what the circular economy means is, like, for example, the usage of plastic, recycling, right? So countries like Netherlands, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the last I read was, I think they're planning to have a full-blown circular economy for the entire Netherlands economy by 2030. So that means their usage of raw materials will reduce.
Mm.
It's more energy efficient.
Mm.
Everybody is in that same ecosystem. It's not just the bigger businesses who have more money to you know, manage their supply chains, etc. is only focused on that. For them, they have looked at it as a whole. Everybody, micro, SME, large businesses, everybody is in that same ecosystem.
Okay.
Now, that is critical.
Okay. My conversation with Tan Sri Andrew Sheng was that in order for us to approach ESG, green initiatives and energy transition, money has to be aplenty in order for this to be realized And when we're talking about billions of ringgit and perhaps some a lot effect of government intervention, not just government direct funds, but of course, government incentives and initiatives to alleviate investors and facilitate them or incentivizing them to enter this space. Do you feel that those kind of efforts were seen in this budget?
Not to that extent, maybe as what has been explained. Like I did mention, you know, there's a couple of billion ringgit that has been allocated, right? Now, how much is enough is, of course, again, yeah, depends on the, you know, each individual, right? But I think the direction is there, okay? Now, even if you, you know, put in all this money, right? So, give you an example, Ibrahim. We had the Green Technology Fund, right? It's been there for a couple of years, right? And there was an allocation of about 2 billion odd for guarantees and loans, etc. Now, the take-up rate so far has been only about half. Only half of that fund has been dispersed. So there must be something causing that. Now, if it's such an important aspect, which is money to throw into this to this aspect of the greening of the economy, then why is the take-up rate only half? Is the conditions difficult to meet? Are businesses not looking at it? Now, and you must be also fair, because in the sense, if you look at businesses, they are always looking for new businesses, right? Right. And everybody knows that the green economy has huge potential, right? I think there's some reports by 2030, the green economy is $1 trillion. US dollars, not ringgit. That's huge initiatives. Now, not to forget, a lot of our SMEs are also exporters, and they have to meet the greening of their products and services in the countries where they are exporting to. So, give you an example, the Europe is going to introduce a certain carbon border tax, right? And so if you don't have the same emission standards as in Europe, and if you produce in an environment where you emit as much as you like, you're going to be imposed a tax.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure businesses have thought about that, you know. So they also cannot say sit back and say, okay, fine, you just impose the border tax because I'm not going to be competitive.
Mm.
Right. So they have thought about it now. How do I then get the ecosystem? Money is one thing, yes, but how do I get the ecosystem to also start towing the line? Mm. Look, guys, we have to move to a circular economy. We have to move to a green economy in order to make this work. We need to have a strategy. We need to have a plan in order for the whole country to move together as one.
Very short one, Navin. Generally speaking, overall, do you like this budget?
I'm actually quite pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
I have seen many budgets in my time.
Yeah.
And I think there's a different taste to this.
Okay, fantastic. That was Lavindran Sandragasu, the partner of PwC Taxation Services in Malaysia. We continue on our coverage on Budget 2023 and the issues surrounding it on Astro Awani. But for now, thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.